I'm delighted to be joined by Tom Savage of Three Red Kings for this week's The Breakdown podcast. Munster back in action last weekend. They lost 27-25 to Leinster na Viva. They play Connacht this weekend, needing at least two points to book another game against Leinster in the semi-finals. They'll know more, obviously, by the time they get to the game at Sunday at 3 o'clock with the Scarlets playing on Saturday. Johan van Grand has named his team just in the last couple of hours. Shane Daly is at fullback, Andrew Conway and Keith Earls are on the wings as they were against Leinster. Same centre partnership with Chris Farrell and Damon D'Alende, and the same out half and scrum half partnership with JJ Hanrahan and Conor Murray. So the back line is intact. And the front line is obviously a couple of changes with injury. You've Jeremy Lachman, Niall Scannell, John Ryan, Finian Mitchell and Tyke Burney come in to the second row in place of Billy Holland and obviously the injured RG Simon. And then making up the back row is Peter Manny, Chris Clote and CJ Stander. Tom, it's a strong team against the Connacht side that can't progress.
Yeah, Connacht have gone, they've rotated their side quite heavily for this one. That was flagged a fair bit in advance, to be fair. Munster, though, have a direct aim to go for here. Two, really. If Munster can get the win against Connacht in this one, they'll obviously progress to a semi-final more than likely against Leinster. And I suppose you can look at the selection today with that next game in mind. It seems that Johan van Hraan and Stephen Larkham are looking to try and build in as much cohesion into this Munster side as possible. Again, lots of the game plan changes that we've kind of talked about with Munster over the last couple of, well, the last year, I suppose, what they've been looking to do in hiring Stephen Larkham is to try and build in a new way of playing. And we saw elements of that against Leinster last week. I think with another potential semi-final against Leinster looming, you want to try and have as much cohesion as possible. The best way to do that is with a settled team as much as possible. Now, of course, there's some injury issues with RG Snaiman that nobody wants. You know, it's unfortunate. A cruciate injury like that rules him out for, you know, a significant amount of time, we'll say that. And with that in mind, I think a lot of the team, a lot of the guys that we see selected here would be in with a very big shout of playing in a semi-final should Munster get the win on Sunday. But when you look at their team, the Connacht have out, they're looking to try and give a lot of guys game time. I think Andy Friend has spoken about getting as much game time into the full group as they can. They are kind of looking at this end of season in the Pro 14 almost like a pre-season in some ways. They won't get to have a pre-season in their regular year. So this is a good opportunity for them to have a look at who they have, what kind of, you know, their new signing, Sam Arnold, will be playing. Conor Oliver is starting. So they've got some guys, and Papa Illy playing at number 8 is a guy who I think a lot of Connacht fans are excited to see. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform. And from a Munster perspective, though, to go as strong as what they were last week, minus a few injury changes and stuff like that, it's a huge bonus. And it's something that, you know, you would imagine Munster should be favourites looking to try and get the win here. And cohesion seems to be the main plan based on this selection anyway.
And just, obviously, there's injury disruptions for the forwards, but in the backs, it's the same unit as was last week. And obviously, throughout the season, Munster have been trying to build with Stephen Larkham. Did you see any signs of that against Leinster?
Oh, very much so. I think there were certain aspects, and I think Stephen Larkham mentioned this during the week at the press conference, that there were some aspects of the game that they were quite happy with. Other bits and pieces you could tell watching the game were not what they should be. There was one or two passes from the forwards that were, you know, that were to nothing. There was a few moments as well where I feel that a wrong decision may have been taken with regards to keeping the ball in the hands as opposed to, you know, kicking cross field. But this is all things that will build. A lot of what Munster have been doing over the last couple of months since lockdown has been conceptual. Then you're trying to build that out onto the pitch as much as you can. But again, that is, you know, you only really get the best learning once you're actually facing live opposition with a game on the line. And I think that a lot of what I saw from Munster was really good, actually. I was quite impressed with JJ Hanrahan's handling of the game for the most part. I thought Shane Daly was hugely impressive at fullback, given he's retained his place. That bodes very well for him. And then you're looking at the way that Munster used Chris Farrell and Damien D'Alende. They've got a massive physical threat for any opposition. Leinster certainly were affected by that, and Munster will be hoping that the same will apply to Connacht. Anything that Munster are looking to do now is going to be based on pace, tempo, getting width on the ball. And I think that Craig Casey's cameo in the last 10 minutes, I think we may see more of him in this game, was hugely encouraging. And it kind of bodes well for this weekend to see how they can build on their performance last week.
Yeah, and just on that centre partnership again, obviously very good signs from the first day with Dale Ende and Chris Farrell. How do you think they work together as obviously a very intimidating centre partnership?
Yeah, I think if you look at Damien Dale Ende, he's a guy who is just incredibly physical. 6'3", he's coming up on 16.5 stone. He's built like a back row. You look at some of the work he's done over Leinster's ball even last week. His counter-rucking was just a nightmare for them once they took that ball into the wide channel. But he's not just about a guy who can truck the ball up for you in contact. He certainly can do that, but that's not all of his game at all. I was very, very impressed with his work once Munster started to surge down kind of the narrow side of the field off, you know, certain phase plays that they ran. His pace, his line running, his passing was very, very smart. And also his work with, you know, after he passes the ball, he likes to try and run in front of the guys who are tracking across, to try and block those guys from getting over to the fellow who he's passed to. And when you combine that to Chris Farrell, he won man of the match on the day. It was one of the best games I've seen from Chris Farrell play against Leinster. He seemed to have so much more impact on ball because with Damien Dale Ende, he just draws attention. You know, you cannot look at Damien Dale Ende coming onto the ball in any sort of wide situation and look at that and kind of go, well, we're going to leave him one-on-one with whoever's up against him. He's going to demand isolations. He's going to demand guys double up on him, which leaves space for others. And his passing is a really underrated part of his game. And, you know, some of the chat I've heard over the course of the last number of months is that Damien Dale Ende and Chris Farrell are too similar. I would not agree. I think that when you look at Chris Farrell and Damien Dale Ende, both of them are guys who I think have it's not all that fair reputation for being guys who are just able to hit the ball up. Both of them have a really kind of sophisticated passing game, great range off both sides. Damien Dale Ende is a guy who's particularly good at offloading as well. So I think when you look at losing RG Snaiman inside 7 minutes was just despicable luck. And it's just one of those things that you just have to try and move on and move past, especially because I think a lot of what Munster's game plan would have been based on what you get from RG Snaiman in that front five. But when you look at what Damien Dale Ende brought, I think that he now has become an incredibly important player for Munster over the course of the next 2 weeks and going forward, because we don't know when we're going to see RG Snaiman again. It could be 5 months, it could be 6 months, it could be 9 months, it could be longer. So, you know, from that perspective, I think that both of those guys are going to play a huge part if Munster are going to be successful towards the end of this season.
And you just touched on Dale Ende's underrated passing. Is JJ Henry another that kind of falls into that category? His game management seems to have come on an awful lot in the absence of Joey Carberry, which is another unfortunate, but it's been a bonus somewhat.
It has, yeah. No, when I look at JJ Hanrahan, he's a guy who, over the last number of years, you know, you look at him when he first broke through with Munster, this was a guy who had an unbelievable amount of attention on him. He was a guy, I think he was in the running for World Player of the Year. I'm not sure if you won it or not, but, you know, you don't get into that situation without warranting it as a younger player. So I think he was a guy who always came through with a lot of expectation on him. But game management and managing the flow of a game tactically is not something that automatically just comes into everybody who puts number 10 on their back. Sometimes it's the thing. It comes with time. It comes with reps out on the field. It comes with appearances. And you look at JJ Hanrahan, and his work with Munster in his first spell was hugely encouraging. Then there was the spell away with Northampton that I don't think worked out for him. Just from an injury perspective, he just didn't get enough time in the field as a number 10, which I think is why he wanted to move in the first place, if you just look from an on-field perspective. And then since he's come back, I think that he's just grown and grown and grown. And when you look at his work over the last year, you could look at one, you know, low point, which was the missed drop goal against Racing 92 in that Heineken Cup game in Thomond Park. But that kind of thing, it just happens, you know, like we all remember the big moments that fly halves have, and you know, you tend to forget the ones that go wrong. But when you look at his goal kicking, it's been really, really reliable. You look at his tactical work, I think, is still somewhat of a work in progress, but it's come on way more from where it was. And I think that you look at Munster over the last year, I think it's fair to say that while it would be great to have Joey Carberry in there, I don't think you'd say that we were badly missing him, because JJ has been so consistent and JJ has been so, I think, effective for Munster. He's a guy who Larkham this week spoke very much about his work, getting to know the game plan, because this is a huge part of playing as a 10. there's an awful lot of learning that comes with it. There's an awful lot of studying that comes with it, looking at your team's game book, essentially, looking at what your plays are, what your options are. You have to know what the lineout calls are. You have to know what your set piece strikes are. Everything runs through you from an offensive perspective. So JJ Hanrahan is a guy who relishes that learning part of the game, according to Stephen Larkham during the week. So you can see that building into him. And the more responsibility he has, I think the better it'll be for him. In some ways, the injury to Joey Carberry, not that it's a benefit for Hanrahan, because I think he'd be looking to say, well, look, even if Carberry was fit, I'd be looking to compete and start over him. But knowing now that there's a huge load of responsibility on him, Hanrahan looks like the type of player who he'll only relish that, and it'll only make him better knowing that he is the guy now going forward for an indefinite period of time.
Yeah, and obviously unchanged backline, but in the pack there's five changes, as we said, Lachman, Ryan, Witcherly, Burnley and Clota. It's serious strength and depth to have five lads of that caliber come in. Obviously Tyke Byrne was injury last week, but it just shows that strength and depth that Munster are building.
Munster are certainly trying to build it. It's especially in the pack, it's very hard. It's not the easiest thing in the world to build quality depth. And I think when you look at Finian Mitchell, he's a guy who is not the tallest second row going, but he's a guy who looks like he's really packed on a fair bit of muscle over the last number of months off lockdown. He's looking in great shape. He's a guy who has been playing with Munster. He got his Munster debut at 19 years of age, as far as I'm aware. He's a guy who Munster for years have backed with game time and appearances, because he just had the right mentality. You could see it in the way that he presents himself on field. He's a guy who you put into a situation like this, and you know he's come in, he's going to relish it. His work in the lineup has been very, very good. One area of work on you would say for him would be his ball carrying, and I have a feeling that we're going to see an improved ball carrier out of Finian Mitchell this coming weekend. But again, that depth that you're looking to build is what every top side looks to have. You either try and get it in from elsewhere or build it from within. And I think you look at the guys who Munster are looking to try and build on, Finian Witcherly, Gavin Coombs, Jack O'Sullivan, who's on the bench in this game as well. These are all young players, Liam O'Connor, too, young players who are going to play a large part in the kind of the medium and long term of Munster rugby, we hope. So when you see Finian Witcherly coming in and getting a start in this game, it's a large part of that is a nod to the fact that there are injuries elsewhere, to a certain extent, you would say. But I think he would have featured here regardless. He's a quality player, and he's a guy who I think will only get better as he ages. The more he kind of builds his frame, the more he builds his athletic profile, I'd say. He's a guy who we could be really looking forward to as being a fellow who could not just represent Munster for years, but also a guy who could step up to Irish level. I think he's got that ability in him. And this is a great opportunity for him to show that up against the likes of Quinn Roo this weekend against Connacht.
Yeah, and on Witcherly, obviously Simon is going to be injured, but we don't know where he's going to do his rehab yet. But if he is with Munster doing his rehab, how important is a presence like that to Witcherly to learn from a World Cup winner?
Oh, yeah, but look, with RG Snaiman, he's a guy who his athleticism, his ability, you know, he's a guy who he's a world-class player for a reason. He's a guy who, you know, was a vital part of a Springbok winning team for a reason. If he stays around during the, you know, for his rehab, Stephen Larkham seemed to suggest that was the plan going forward. But again, we just got to wait and see, because who knows how long he's going to be out for. It would be a big help to the likes of Finian Witcherly and the other younger players, just seeing what the kind of physical preparation that the likes of an RG Snaiman would do to get into the shape that has made him into such an impactful player on a world stage. But you look at, you know, Finian Witcherly and stuff like that, he's already been learning an awful lot alongside the likes of Billy Holland, who's a very underrated player for me. He's a guy who, again, is not the biggest second row going. He's not a guy who is a monstrous physical freak in the same way that an RG Snaiman would be. But you look at Billy Holland, why has he had such longevity? Why is he a guy who has had such a kind of a long tenure and an important role with Munster over the course of the last, you know, 5-6 years? Because he's such a smart player, because he's a guy who knows his gig inside out on that field. And he's a guy who, if you look at Finian Witcherly, if you look at the physical profile that Finian can bring, learning from Billy Holland, that's a great template to go from. Billy Holland is a guy who is a hugely intelligent line-out mind when it comes to planning and his work tactically. Because again, if you look at a guy, Billy Holland, who's what, like 6'3" for a second row, there's no way he should be getting up and competing and regularly stealing and disrupting opposition second lineup ball. But it's because of the way he reads and assesses the opposition that he's able to get into those positions. And you know, for a guy like Finian Witcherly, yes, learning off RG Snaiman is you know, from a physical perspective and everything else is going to be important. But I think that he's already got guys like Billy Holland and stuff like that who are going to play a big role in his development going forward, I would say.
And once again this weekend, Johan van Gren has opted for a 6-2 split. Kevin O'Byrne, Liam O'Connor, Stephen Archer, Billy Holland, Jack Donohue, Craig Casey, Rory Scannell, Jack O'Sullivan. Jack O'Sullivan's obviously a back rower. Is that kind of the Munster template now, like set in the stone at the 6-2 split, or is just game to game?
Well, I imagine it'll be a game to game situation for the moment. Again, I think you look at last week, I think Munster were in a way punished for not carrying a 6-2 split given the injuries that were there. Leinster, it obviously benefited Leinster. Again, you look at Rory Scannell, he's almost like another forward as well now, so it's nearly a 7-1 split. But you look at the guys who were there, and you look at the way that that Munster, I think, are going to look to play going forward, especially in this game. I think it's going to be, you're going to see CJ Stander not playing the full 80. I would be surprised. I think he's going to look to be rotated out with, you know, a semi-final in mind. That's a big opportunity for Jack O'Sullivan. I think Jack O'Donoghue is a guy who probably would have featured last week if he'd been fit and available. He's back from his concussion protocol this week. He's a guy who, his skill set has gotten so rounded over the course of the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 seasons. He's a genuine line-out option now on both sides of the throw. A really good defensive player. I want to see what he's like now. Has he developed athletically over the course of the last number of months? Because I think that's the only area from a ball-carrying perspective that has prevented him getting into a regular conversation for maybe starting for Ireland in the back row. His work on line-out and offensive and defensive maul is really, really strong defensively as well. But again, you look at that and you go that there's a, you know, with a 6-2 split, it does give you options and it does mean you're not burning out certain areas of your team. And I think that, you know, we're going to, if you're going to look to try and take on Leinster, I would not be surprised to see another 6-2 split in that game. Because again, the likes of Rory Scammell allows you to do that. He covers 10, he covers midfield. You know, he's a guy who gives you an awful lot of versatility. So I think Munster's 6-2 split in this game could give us a bit of a look as to what to expect next week, perhaps, in a potential semi-final should Munster get there.
And with the 6-2 split and obviously the exact same backline, is fatigue going to come into this now for those players in the backline? Looking at it, it looks to be the strongest 9-15 we have. They'll probably feature in a semi-final.
That's the risk you run. I think when you're, you know, I think the way the Munster play and are going to play going forward is going to be very, very dependent on the platform and the, I suppose, the gravity of their midfield pairing. How many players can they drag in? What kind of space can they create for others? And when you look at the structures and the shapes that Munster are looking to try and play and the plays they're looking to try and get going, I think it's important to build cohesion with those guys and to get as much of another 80 minutes into them as possible. Because, you know, you run the risk of, you know, there's injury, you run the risk of, you know, fatigue, yes, certainly. But I think you have to balance that out with, we need to get cohesion into these guys, get them used to playing next to each other, alongside each other. Because it's going to be a big factor in how Munster are going to look to play going forward, especially when you look at Damien Delende, how much of an important role he's going to play both on the defensive side of the ball and from an attacking perspective.
Yeah, and then on to Connacht. They're obviously 26-20 winners over Ulster. They can't qualify, but this will be another huge game. As you said, they've changed their team completely around. There's a few familiar faces like Sammy Arnold, Conor Oliver, Conor Fitzgerald. What are you expecting from the Westerners?
Well, I think we're going to expect a little bit more of the same from Connacht. I think that whatever selection they put out there is going to have a similar profile. They're going to try and play the same way, which is they're going to look to try and get a little bit of width in the ball. They're going to look to try and get as much tempo into the game as they can, similar to Munster in some ways. I think that you look at any side that's going to be without Bundy Aki is going to be weaker for it. He's a top class player. A guy who any side in the world would miss, I think. And him not being involved, it's certainly an advantage to Munster simply because Bundy Aki is such a good player. Then you look at Ulton Delan, he's on the bench for this one. We'll certainly see him at some point as well. I think that Connacht, like I said, maybe looking at this as an opportunity to assess a lot of the guys who they have in their squad. I think from their perspective, they are looking at this, the new season, when you combine the extended international window that there's going to be, that's a big opportunity for them to do what they were planning on doing last year, doing the World Cup, to really have a run at that conference, to build up a lot of momentum and to get themselves into a position where they are actually regularly contending for the Pro 14 playoffs. That's something that's going to be a big factor for them. So I think that this game is, look, because like they can't really do anything in this game. But what it will be useful for Andy Friend and his team, is to look at who they have, who is playing well, who is you know, going with the system and the structures that they have, who suits it, what does Pat Bailey look like from the start, how does he, you know, fit in with Conor Oliver, how can we get our structures going looking into the new season, because there's not going to be any preseason friendlies this year. That's going to be a big factor for Connacht as they look to hit the ground running in 2020-21. So, you know, there's nothing on the line for them in this game. And some people have been complaining, oh, why they rotated their side out. They've got different aims, you know, like the end of the season. They could name their full side with Bundy Aki playing and everybody else. But you'd have to wonder what would be the benefit to it. You know, they're looking to try and build their squad. They're looking to try and assess who they have and build towards 2020-21 season, as opposed to, you know, going out all out at the end of this year for no real reason. They're using it as a preseason friendly, I would say. They're certainly not going to approach it like a friendly, but I think their selection is based on assessing what they have rather than we must win this game.
And on the same token, obviously it's going to take a huge swing to knock Munster out. Please God, they will get through. But can Johan van Gren be looking to next season or after such a long layoff, or does he have to focus on now?
I would say anytime you've spoken to these people during the press conferences, they seem to be looking at, you know, Johan mentioned it and Stephen Larkin mentioned it, that they're kind of looking at this end of season as being two games minimum, and then you're looking at a third and possibly a fourth, with the idea that they will go to win this Pro 14. That's the way that they were approaching it. So, you know, you could say in this game that you might start maybe a younger academy guy, perhaps, maybe. But again, you'd wonder if they're looking to try and build to get a 23 ready to possibly, you know, potentially take on Leinster again next week. You want cohesion. You want those guys to be as ready to go as possible. So I think from their perspective, they're looking at this season as, well, we can win a trophy this year. It's possible. So they're looking at it like that. And then next year, look, there's going to have to be development next year regardless, because there's going to be guys who are going to be missing away with the international window at Ireland for a number of weeks during the middle of the season. This is just, it's just going to happen. So, you know, guys like, you know, your Ty Burns, your Pete Romanis, your CJ Standers, your others are going to be out. So there's going to be space for guys to develop behind them, and that's just going to be natural. So I think maybe that's the way they're looking at it. This is the time to try and push to win a trophy. Next season early, that's when you can start bringing in guys to develop and build towards something else towards the end of next season.
And just looking at that game against Leinster last week, just for a second, there was a 14-minute spell with Leinster where they turned a 10-13 deficit into a 24-13 lead. Can you put that down to complacency after such a long break, or is it the quality of Leinster, or where would you?
I wouldn't say complacency. It's just one of those things. Leinster are an incredibly good side. You can look at, there was an element of feeling hard done by towards the last couple of minutes of the first half, maybe a penalty of the line-out that should have been given and wasn't. But again, they conceded a try right before halftime. And then early in the second half, again, elements of in from the side at the ruck that wasn't punished. But you have to just roll with this. Leinster are a very good side. And while I think Munster certainly have improved since the last time they played this Leinster side, you're going to concede tries against them for the most part. That was an example of Leinster's quality. But I would say then in the aftermath, during this game, Munster were incredibly disrupted by injuries. Losing Dave Kilcoyne inside the first 10 minutes, RG Snaiman is the same. And then John Klein, their other second row forward who came on, lost him in, what, after 15 minutes of the second half? At that point, your rotation for the day is completely out the window. Your bench options are completely out the window. So from that point, you're looking at, well, how do Munster respond here? And I think that Munster, I think it would be easy for them to go, well, look, we're missing one of our big ball carriers from the front row. We're missing our big, huge marquee signing, RG Snaiman, and he's gone. Now the guy who replaced him, John Klein, he's gone. You could forgive them for going, okay, look, the head's going down a little bit once that try went in. But I think that they reacted very well. Their work at the breakdown was a constant positive throughout. And, you know, while the game didn't end well from the perspective of Leinster came out on top by 2 points and missed conversion, it's just one of those things that I think that you can never really expect to hold down Leinster for a full 80 minutes they reacted as they did and as they have done for the last number of years. But again, I think the reaction to Munster, to that reaction from Leinster, I think it was the important thing, because I think that they presented themselves really well and made a really good account of themselves, even though in losing, you don't like to lose. And there's no such thing as a moral victory here either. Munster still lost the game. But I think that they'll come away with a lot of positives and knowing that they had opportunities to even win the game from where they were. And yes, that they didn't come away with them. It'd be a lot worse if you're at a game where you're going, well, we were soundly beaten here. There's nothing for us to take from it except that we just need to be better. I think Munster coming out of it will be, despite the result, losing bonus point, pretty decent. They will look at it and go, there's room for us to grow here yet.
And obviously on Saturday night, we'll see Ulster and Leinster and Deviva as well. Two teams that are already true potential opponents for Munster. How would you expect that one to go down?
Leinster have rotated a fair bit, as you'd expect. They have a pretty compressed season coming up over the course of the next number of weeks. They have a European Champions Cup that they've got to look for as well. That's going to be a huge game for them. They have a possibility of a fifth star waiting if they can get past Saracens. That is not going to be an easy game. They're going to need all their top players for that one. Again, you look at this Leinster side and go, they don't really tend to put out bad sides. But again, looking at this team, looking at the selection that is here, I think there's something here for Ulster. I mean, Ulster, they've already got their business done this year. They're looking at a potential semi-final now against Edinburgh. So from that perspective, I think they're looking at it and going, we just need to try and build on a little bit from last week. I think Ulster will be very disappointed with the way they performed against Connacht. So many errors, so many opportunities that they spurned. Their defence wasn't great either. This is a rotated Leinster side, but look, rotated Leinster sides have been beating the majority of the Pro 14 for the vast majority of the last season. So I think from an Ulster perspective, there's an opportunity here to get a W over Leinster. But again, I think from both sides are looking towards the next game now. So there's an element for guys here to put their hands up. There's an element for certain aspects of the system to be worked out both sides. Leinster, I think, are going to be favourites regardless. But I think that there's an opportunity here for Ulster to try and get back a little bit of the steam that they lost last week against Connacht. It's a little bit surprising for me. I was expecting, given that Connacht had nothing really to play for, I was expecting Ulster to go, look, we're going to get in the roll here early, but it just didn't work for them at all. So this is a big opportunity for Ulster to try and get back on that horse, but Leinster can't really look beyond them. I think they've got two or three sides that could go out and realistically compete against the majority of teams in the Pro 14. So from their perspective, it's just about keeping the show going that's been working for them all season and building towards the bigger games they have coming down the road.
And so for a final word, will Munster be preparing for a semi-final next week, or will they be looking at the pre-season?
It's pretty likely that Munster are going to be looking at a semi-final, you know, bar a pretty freak result. Munster have gone pretty much full strength. Connacht are heavily rotated. You would expect Munster to pick up a win against this Connacht selection, no disrespect to them. But it's just one of those things that now, from a Munster perspective, they need fluidity and momentum. They came out of last week's game with a bit of momentum, despite the result. They'll need to hit the ground running against Connacht. If they come into this game with, you know, systems, you know, not being fluid and mistakes being made, they could lose this game. And then it'll just be a preseason. And that's not something that, it looks like this selection is kind of going, well, we want to nail down this win. We want to get into that semi-final and go from there. With the selections out there, I can't really look beyond the Munster win, really. I mean, Connacht did play very, very well against Ulster, but a lot of the guys who performed really well for him in that game are not playing here and are not even in the 23. So I think from a Munster perspective, Connacht are going to be trying some things out. We are looking to continue on what we have been doing. And it's, you know, it's a fairly straightforward example of Munster having a selection that can win this game and going out there and chasing that. And, you know, there's a possibility to go on there. And if they can start getting a score up, who knows what could happen. But it's just one of those things that the win is the most important thing. And this selection definitely looks like that is the focus.